Okay, shkoyach everyone for being here. So this was a little assigned for me tonight because Ariel told me that really you could stay home and do Zoom, but it's not the same. It's not that I don't want to be here. Don't get me wrong. It's just I don't particularly care for the VQE late at night. Actually, I don't care for it early in the morning. The FDR drive is not much better either. The only time I ever saw the FDR drive, I once went on a big cruise. There was a chizik for people that didn't have children. We were on this boat, and we were sitting in the water. We were in the water between the two, like between Brooklyn and Manhattan. And they said, just don't be too sensitive. Like, don't. And it's like, what do you want me to talk about? And I just looked at both sides, everyone sitting in the boat. And I said, my luck, it's the only time in my life. You know what I mean? I'm 60 years old. It's the only time in my life there's no traffic on the BQE and on the FDR drive, and I'm in a boat in the middle. You know what I mean? That's rare. Okay, so we are where we're going to be. So I want to say that Baruch Hashem. So what made me come? Well, there's nothing like being here. There are certain juices that flow when you have a chance to learn Torah together. And Zoom, Chas V'Shalom, I'm happy you're here on Zoom. Well, guys, don't get me wrong. It's the next best thing. So then I walked in, I said, I don't know, should I have come, should I have not come? So I opened up Rav Moshe's Sefer, okay? I mean, it's a Sefer written from Rav Moshe. And listen, just listen to this, at random, but of course nothing is at random, right? V'yikri Yaakov al-Bonav, v'yoymer, he said to them, ha'asu v'agidu lechem v'sashe yikri eschem v'achris ha'yamim. Gather together, and I will tell you what's going to be achris ha'yamim. So says Rav Moshe, it's so zis, listen to this. What do you mean gather together? What do you think the Shvatim were doing the whole day in Mitzrayim? They were in Kail. They were in the Beis HaMedrash. They were learning. And what do you think Yaakov was? He was in the Beis HaMedrash learning with them. So what do you mean gathered together? They were gathered together anyway. Here Ramesh is kasha. Ramesh looks at those 17 years. What did Yaakov do those 17 years of his time? He was in sitting and learning. But God, Yaakov Avinu hayanimsa sham. Yaakov was there. He could have seen them whenever he wanted. What was the problem? But from that Svegan, he said, come on, let's gather together. Where there's something special that happens when you didn't get together, to learn. And he says, Afel Gav, he says, Chachmi Adar, get together. This was interesting. Afel Gav Shem Yechoyim Ledabri Yedei telephone, ancient Zoom. Oyal Gabi Aksav, or emails or fax. Ein Zadoyimel Lehiskansis Meshutefes. You can't compare that to actual people being together. And then it says in the footnotes, when did Rav Moshe say this? He said this by the sixth Knesi HaGdola in Eretz Yisrael, where he had no kayach to go, and he was speaking over the telephone. So Rav Moshe was saying, it's not as good as being there. So we see two things from here. We see A, there's nothing like actually being there. And B, if you can't be there, don't say, well, it's not as good as being there, so I may as well not do it, right? What I say, the Rambam says that there are eight different levels of tzedakah. And the highest level of tzedakah is that you give, the person doesn't know that you're taking from it. If you don't know who you're giving it to, and the person doesn't know who he's taking from, and it goes step by step. And one of the levels of tzedakah is, as you go down the ladder, that you give it to a person before he asks for it. Once he has to ask for it, he really has to go through a certain amount of bezyonos. So say there's a person standing there, and a man is saying, I want to give tzedakah today. Someone comes over and says, Cholix, mamish don't have for supper. He goes, well, no. Rather give it to someone that didn't ask for it. You get it. You get away from here. Ah, there's someone I didn't ask for. Right? That's not the point. The point is that if I can't do it, that some people, if you can't do it right, then you don't do it at all. I've had kids over the years teaching 8th grade, and it gives you a little bit of a forerunner. If they did not get 100 on the test, they would not answer any question. They would give it a zero. That they cannot deal with me. I just gave it a zero because they didn't know any answers. But when I was a kid, but they couldn't deal with this is what I am. And sometimes in the shidduch process that becomes a problem because I could have had that, so why should I settle for this? And I could have had this, so why should I settle for that? And all of a sudden, life runs by. So first of all, we don't know what we're settling for. We don't know what's really good and what's really not good. That's number one. Number two, it's just to focus on what we can. So I thank you, Ari, for manning the Torah anytime, and everyone else for being here. Landers, the Beis Medrash, and you think everyone that's here in the Beis Medrash is here because they want to be here, right? Because they want to sit live with the Chavrusa. So think about that. Think about the Chashivas that is in Shemayim. Okay. So basically, this was another week where it seems that the world is spinning out of control. Someone said to me, you said that 10 years ago already. I said, it's true then, and it's true now. So I was like, but the world should have gone off the cliff already. And it's true. Someone keeps putting it back into orbit. I said, you know, by major earthquakes, they claim that from the satellite pictures, they see that the Earth actually bounced out of its orbit for a few seconds and bounces back in. Even if it looks like we're out of our orbit, and then we bounce back in. Who bounces it back in? Who keeps putting it back into orbit? Same one who set the world to orbit to start with, set it spinning to start with, right? That's the one thing evolutionists do not have an answer for. Nothing starts spinning unless someone has to set something into motion, right? Nothing goes into motion unless it was set into place. And everything in the Bria has something that's in motion. Even this table, if I would take a microscope and look into it, okay, it's a very chash of a table, but Shiva gives Shiri, right? So you would, but everything that exists, right? If I look deeper, you're going to see electrons and atoms and neutrons and protons, whatever, but there's going to be worlds spinning around each other. Nothing stays in one place, right? Everything that exists is on the move. The Eibishter sets it. And if you would look deeper, there's even deeper than atoms, right? What are they called?
Quarks.
The quarks that make up the atoms. Then there's the quarks that make up the quarks. Right? There's the limit to how deep we can go. And if you would really, really go deep, what would you see? You would see the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya means the Shem of existence. Then anything that exists only exists because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is there and gives it existence. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is giving us existence at this given moment. He keeps putting the orbit back into place. And Memela, we deal with what we have. So Yaakov gives us the brachas this week, and Yaakov tells us Amalach Hagoyel Oisi, right? And he says the Yidgul Roiv Bekerav Haaretz. I know that those that have been listening to me for a while have heard this story more than maybe one too many times, many. But I think it's a good story to say anyway. Speak to the audience, not to the cameras. Believe it or not. So I heard this story from the old school Lenin Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He said this guy comes home and he hears his wife saying Kriya Shema Lamita with her children, right? Ari, you know what I'm going to say. She goes like this: Hamalach Hagoel Osi Mikol. Stop. Ra Yivarech Esanarim. And he goes, what are you saying? She goes, what's the problem? Don't say Ra Yivarech Esanarim, that the evil should bench my kids. So she said, that's how my father and mother said it with me. He goes, oh, that explains a lot of things, right? You know, okay. He says, don't you dare say that you're cursing my children. She says, no, I'm going to say it the way my mother said it. There was a major Shalom Bayis thing. So they went to the old Skelani Rebbe, and he's screaming that she says, Ra Yivarech Esanarim, I'm out of here, and she's crying. He doesn't respect me, and my mother said it this way. And so the Rebbe told her she should continue saying, Ra Yivarech Esanarim. And so when she walked out, he said, Rebbe, you want to make Shalom Bayis, not on the cheshbon of my kids. Nothing like a real chassid that believes in his Rebbe, right? So the Rebbe said, no. He says, a person comes home from shul Friday night, there are two malachim that accompany him. A bad malach and a good malach. Right? A malach ran, a malach toiv. If the house is, everyone accepts the matzav the way it is, the shalom in the house, mita mitzas letam, etchachem, neiris, delekas, all the Gemara Gemara says, then what happens? Then the good malach has to say, good malach says, Yiratzin l'shua haba, the bad malach has to answer amen. If you come home and the house is in disarray, and people are upset and not talking to each other, so the bad malach says, Yiratzin l'shua haba, and the good malach has to answer amen. So he said, I want you to have the kind of a house where ra yivarech esanor, where the malach ra is going to have to answer amen to the bracha of the good malach. Now, in order for there to be shalom bayis in the house, as you will see, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, someone has to be happy because it's never going to be perfect on a Friday night. Simchas aren't perfect and Shabbosim aren't perfect. That means somebody is settling for what it is. You're right. There's nothing like being together. But if I have to speak to you on the... But I'm the one that'll tell you there's nothing like being together, says Rav Moshe. And he's doing it from the telephone because this is what I have to work with. So Rav Moshe says, what does it mean, the Yidgul Aroyv Bekerav Haaretz? What do you mean? Fish, the bracha for fish is not Haaretz. It should say, the Yidgul Aroyv Bekerav Hayam. What, in the Kerav HaFish tank? What's the Yidgul Aroyv Bekerav Haaretz? So Rav Moshe says, that's the bracha. Well, seemingly the fish cannot survive Haaretz. It's impossible. And I'm giving you a bracha that even under impossible situations you can survive. Says Chassam Sofer. That was the bracha, the care of Aretz. So I once heard that somebody came to Reb Chaim Knievsky Zalzayin Gezunt and asked him a Mari Degakasha. If you wonder why they're limiting people coming to ask him kashas. He says, the Gemara says that the fish, when it rains, they run up to grab the drop of water. As much as they're in the ocean, every drop of water is a chiddush, and that's how Torah has to be. So he says he looked in his fish tank. Apparently he doesn't have a job. He's got collecting unemployment. He sits and stares at his fish tank. And he poured in water. He did a test also. During Chanukah and Nepal, yeah. He poured in water, and he saw the fish didn't run up. So Reb Chaim said, that's the difference between fish in the fish tank and fish in the ocean. Fish in the fish tank think they know everything. They see the entire world. You have nothing to add. The fish in the ocean know. The ocean is endless. They're a little tiny bria in the ocean. Relatively speaking, if you're going to measure percentage-wise, that they need survival. So when a new drop of water comes, they go running for it. He says, that's the problem when you're in a fish tank. He says, if you realize you're in the ocean and you need the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then every little thing comes along. So, the Yidgul arrive even the Karavar, it's not to get disoriented, not to lose it, even though you face mission impossible. I can tell you I have faced many mission impossibles in my life, but I said, I'm not going to get over it. And somebody told me, start learning Daf Yomi. I said, I'm Kabbal of Old Torah, I'm very many Old Malchus Shemaim. He said, yeah, that's true. And Tyrus Bakudi Hashem Yisharim Masam Chaylev, he says, yeah, that's true. He told me something else. He said, I do it all the time. He says, you're up to Masechtas Pesachim, right? And it says, Chizki Omar, Rabavu Omar. He says, stop. The next time you're going to see this Gemara is going to be, hopefully, in 7.5 years. I mean, you can learn Pesachim before that, I'm not saying. In the context of Daf Yomi, right? Chances are you're not going to have this problem in 7.5 years, right? So, Stam Chizki Rebavo, they know already the solution to the problem. So, whatever it's going to be in 7.5 years, you know. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to make a decision. It's driving me out of my mind. Okay. Relax. Take it easy. Take a break. Open the Gemara. It doesn't have to be Daf Yomi. It could be anything. Relax. Learn. When you hear the Kriya Satira, we say, by next year, I'm going to hear these same Sukkim, right? On this day. These Sukkim, the Torah is Nitzchias. It's not called Beraisa Bar Alma. Our genes, our DNA, our chromosomes are in the words of the Torah. They know what's going to be. Okay, so you know. What do I have to worry about? I have to make decisions. So my wife once told me I'm not organized. I proved to her that I am very organized. I do make good decisions. For example, they got those things in the shuls where you put in the phone, the little lockers. I said, if I do this, trust me, I'm going to wind up going to yeshiva with the key in my pocket. I'm going to leave the phone in that little locker. I just know it. And that's exactly what happened. So I said, who says I'm not organized? I know exactly what's going to happen. So my wife bought me this scarf. She said, put the whole scarf through the sleeve of your coat. I said, what if I'm desperate? There's no way you're going to lose it. I said, unless I bring home the wrong coat. Guess what happened? Somebody else is enjoying my scarf. I knew it was the wrong coat because when I put on the mask, he had a weird picture on it and people were giving me these looks. I said, uh-oh, here's where I am, okay? But here's where I need your help. Think about this, Rabbi Say. Because this happens to me all the time. I have this thing, if I'm 2 blocks away, and I know it's very difficult to find parking, I see a parking spot, I park. My wife always says, let's go in front of the place. Maybe there'll be one. This is an ongoing thing, okay? We have not resolved this in the last 40 years. So, I'm coming home today, and it's the middle of the day. There's no parking on my block during the day. It's like, forget about it. And on the next block, there's parking. I say, I'm taking it. I says, don't take it. So I said, I think we should take it because I don't have time to circle the block. So I park and we walk with dragging packages. And of course, right in front of my house, there's this parking spot. There's never a parking spot right in front of my house. So here was the debate. Was I right or was I wrong? I claimed that I was still right. Because Lemaisa, I made the correct decision. There's a spot in front of my house. Okay, so I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. You proved I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. But it still was a logical decision. My wife said it proves I was wrong. Why? First of all, she said I should park there and I didn't listen. That already makes me wrong. Second of all, look, there's a spot there. So the worst thing is when you see a spot in front of your house and you run to get your car, and by the time you get it, there's no spot there, and you come around, you don't have the other spot either. Okay. So I was thinking to myself, the wrong coat, no excuse. Parking, we do what we can. We make the decision that we're supposed to make. And that's what it is. The Chassam Sofer had done a shidduch. I'm not going to get into the long story. But he did a shidduch with a person that promised to hold him out. He didn't want to be a Rosh Hashiv. He didn't want to be a Rav. There was a Yid of Hirsch Yarvitz who said, marry my sister, I promise I'm going to support you. And Chassam Sofer had a disappointment the time beforehand. Somebody had promised that he would not make him a Rosh Hashiv, he would be able to sit and learn, and then the guy already had plans already for him to be the Rav, and he had backed out of that Shidduch. And now, they said, this Reb Hirsch Yarvitz is as honest can be. But again, this is Shidduch. When it comes to Shidduchim, you know that Shadchan is Rosh Teivos, Sheker Dover Kesef Nikach, right? So it turned out afterwards that his sister, yes, Reb Hirsch Yarvitz had every intention to support the Chassam Sofer. He didn't mention to the Chassam Sofer that his sister was once married. Didn't mention that she was close to 10 years older than him. She didn't mention that she had a heart condition. Those three things he forgot to mention. And he had written a letter. So he went back to his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler. He said he did the Shidduch already. What should he do? So Reb Nosson Adler said, there's no question to Mekach Tos, you could drop the Shidduch. He says, I can't hurt her, especially if she has a heart condition. Can't take that in my chrayis. So he said, if you feel that way, then you can marry her. So the Chassam Sofer was relieved, and then an interesting thing had taken place where they had the Chassam Sofer was a German citizen. He was born in Pressburg, I think. He was Rav in Pressburg. He was born in basically Germany, and I don't know the politics. But this was on the Russian side of the border, and it seemed that they would not be able to stay there. They would have to move away, and Reb Hirsch Yarvitz would not be able to support them wherever they would move. So he sent back a letter to Reb Nosson Adler and said, should I still do the Shidduch? And Reb Nosson Adler said, no, in this case, drop the Shidduch. Nosson Adler was an Ish Kaddish, and Mamish was they say he never learned inside. Because the whole heter to learn Torah, Balpeh inside is because you're going to forget it. He never forgot what he learned. And it's just to see the Hashgach. Reb Nosson Adler was so determined that the Chassam Sofer get the message in time before the Chuppah that he sent it with a special courier as opposed to the mail. And for whatever reason, this special courier, I don't know, his ways was all mixed up and the horse went in the other direction. And he got there right after the chuppah, right after he said Ariyat Mekadesh in front of the two Edom, and he came flying in, wait, stop the execution, right? And he ran over and gave him the letter. And the Chassam Sofer read the letter and put the letter in his pocket. And his wife wanted to know what the letter said, and he kind of said, it's not important. And at one point she found the letter, and she was devastated. And the Chassam Sofer said to her, he says, I remember his lashon was very powerful, he said, I swear to you, that the Eibishter was mazman, that this letter came a split second after I said the Riyat Mekadesh, because you're my zivik. This is what Hashem meant, so this is what was supposed to be. Deal with it. Deal with what happens. So, the Kliyoker says, Amar de Gavart, I thank Pinchas Doppel for showing this to me. Then it says, the yam of Akedim. He says, sometimes in our life, we feel that we're in the dumps. We feel we are kafara aretz. And we say, God, you want me here? Is a siman, here's my zivik. Is a siman here, this is where I'm supposed to. Zivik, the Rizal says, is not just who you marry. The zivik is your chavrusa, the zivik is your beis medrash, the zivik is your roommate. Zivik is everything that's going on in your life, your emotional things that you're dealing with. And if you feel, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you put me here, kafar aretz, here's where I'm supposed to be, that opens up the door to a faratz, the yam of akedma. You can't sometimes come to the faratz, the yam of akedma, unless you have the vahaya zaracha kafar aretz. So next time you feel like saying, I'm in the dumps, Or better yet, you look around you and you realize that you're in the dumps, okay? I once said to a dentist, he told me how much my root canal would cost. I said, I feel like I'm paying up a car. And he told me, you are, okay? So if you're in the dumps, if you handle it right, the V'hoye Zaracha Kafar Oretz leads to the Feratzta Yoram Evian, leads to the Miash place Yoram Evian. I remember once when I was a kid, we had this electrician, he used to come to the house. He's a concentration camp survivor. He's an interessante Yidl. And this is how he would do it. He would like touch it and go, oh, ow, ouch, ouch. Oh, no, this is good. This wire is live. That was his. So we said to him, should I go down to the basement and close the breaker? He says, no. Says he learned electricity in Auschwitz. He told Mengele he's an electrician. He had no clue. He said he learned the hard way. He says, he does it this way. You know what I mean? Said, that's how he survived. You get burned. Okay, you move on. He didn't look for that level of security. So the pasuk says like this, that Yaakov Avinu, first of all, the Sfasena says several times, and many other swarm as well, that the bracha of Yaakov Avinu to the Shvatim was a nevuah, it was a bracha to every single year till Mashiach comes. So somewhere in Parshas Vayechi is a bracha to us, from Yaakov Avinu. He says to Yehuda, Yehuda is Koil of Klal Yisrael, Yehuda is called the Yehudi. Kara Shachav Kari, he crouches and lies down like a lion. Nice little lion, right? So you don't want to wake up a sleeping tiger. Waking up a sleeping lion is also not so geshmak. Uchalavi miyakamenu, and like an awesome lion who dares to awake him. So some say it goes on Yosef, but he meant to say that he didn't kill Yosef, and even and therefore, La said, "Love you, Mamshiach is going to come, there'll be a pachet from him." But listen how the Sfasem is taich as the pasuk, okay? Karatz Rava Kari. What does this mean? Kara Ravatz Kari. Amar, he says, quoting his grandfather, the Chidush Yerim, the koich shel Yehudi. The koich of a Yid is a filib b'shah shiflus, even when things are not working out your way. So shoychev, you're laying on the floor. I blew it. I lost it. It was my opportunity. And I let it slip out of my hands, that terrible sense of frustration. I feel like I'm in that machine, you know, in a press, and they're turning it from both sides, and my head is in between. And a person is stuck. I remember a friend of mine, you know, Nebuch needed, he needed the chemotherapy. Actually, the Baruch Hashem, he's fine now. And he couldn't get his insurance passed to get through to the doctor. And the doctor said there's a deadline. And if he doesn't, it was in a situation where, like, he's on a cliff, and there's I said, the Rabbi Nishlam saw you, Yaakov Avinu saw you, there has to be a way out. You know, Baruch Hashem, there was a way out. But there are those moments in our life. And those are the moments we could be zaycha to Ruach HaKadosh. Those are the moments that we can't lose, we should never be tested. And that's the koyach of Yehuda. The koyach of Yehuda is, afila b'shah shiflas, shu shoychev, he's carries like a lion. The lion is not always running. As a matter of fact, a lion, when he's not hungry, is very passionate, very kind. He eats only, he'll only eat you up if he's hungry. He's very nice of him. Very nice of him. But the lion, if he's full, could lay for a very long time. He's shachav. I have to lay, I'm kari. But I'm laying like a lion. I'm not going to lay in the dumps, tzebrachin and tzeshmetet. If this is where I am, I'm proud to be here, and I have no problem. Chagai Vaiter. V'lovi, shekein hoi b'maisa tamar, shehoi d'v'loi b'aish, that he was maida, he said, guess what? It was me. And he wasn't embarrassed. So that's what he calls v'lovi. That even during this most difficult time where l'chayra, he should have backed off, he had the courage to take responsibility. Right? This is Yehuda. Think about what Yehuda was. He's judging Tamar, and Tamar pulls out the, you know, his signet ring and the stick and says, anyone recognize this? And Yehuda could have said, I have no clue. Could have erased those emails, deleted them, gone. She gave him the opportunity to do it. She made it very clear. I'm not going to challenge you on it. She accepted better that a person be thrown into a kivshan eish. And Yehuda makes a very conscious, quick decision. He says, no, me. I'm guilty. It's me. And what is born from there? Right? If Tamar would have been killed, then who would have not been born? Peretz and Zarech. Out of Peretz comes Mashiach. So Mashiach was born with Yehuda acknowledging, which could have been l'chayr, the world's biggest embarrassment. Ulechein haremes, kol Hashem, says the Sfas Emes, the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is in the word Yehuda. In Yehuda, in the word Yehuda, you have the Yud, and you have the He, and you have the Vav, and the other He. There's an extra Dalet. V'ois Dalet, the purpose of the Dalet is l'harois, ke'afiluk ishu dal. Even when you're down, it's your worst moment. It's your worst moment, ruchnius. I can't believe what I did. I can't believe what I did. And Hashem Imai, that's it. I'm taking responsibility. And that's the p'china of Kara, Shachav, Kari, and Ravatz. Pirish, Shebashas, Takfay, in his strongest moment, Hu Kareya, Umachnia, Atzmai. Here Yehuda is the judge. He's the one that's ordering Tamar to be burned. I could destroy the evidence. And he says, no, it's me. And when things are not going his way, Ravatz Kari, he lays like a lion. To be equal, to be able to maintain your chizik even when you're in the dumps, and not to lose it when you start getting aliyah. So the Velt says roll with the punches. It's really not a question of rolling, it's taking it lying down. That there's a surgical aggressiveness when necessary, and to take full responsibility when necessary. I have seen people, I'm telling you, once things started going their way, they disappeared. They like flew high into the sky and you never saw them again. They just totally lost it. You see it with politicians, you see it with wealth, you see it with money. They just lose it, right? Yaakov Galinsky's story with the rich man, right? You know? The man buys two lottery tickets, one for himself, one for the biggest schlemazel in the town. And he sees the schlemazel's ticket won. He says, I better go give it to him in the middle of the night, because if I wait till the morning, my Yetzer will get the best of me. I'm going to say, really, his ticket was mine. Mine was his. Breira, whoever double of Freya, I meant his. Rashi says, beginning of Tol, you know, Tol is what's born first, really comes before that. Yeah. He's ready to have a whole... So he knocks on his door, and the man comes running. The biggest gevir in the town is there. He's there with his ripped pajamas, you know, his toes sticking out of his socks, and his pom-pom hanging from his neck. He says, why do I have the honor that the rich man comes to my humble abode in the middle of the night? He says, you won the lottery ticket. I want to give it to you. He says, you mean I'm rich? Yes, you are rich. And he goes, how dare you wake me in the middle of the night? Right? That's what happens. Seen it. Seen it happen. So, kara shach, so, kilavi yikimena, kara shach of kari. That you don't fly too high and disappear, and you don't dimp below the radar when things are not going your way. And it's an assign. So the Medrash says that the king of Paras was once sick, and the doctors could not find the machla. They said the only cure is for him to drink the milk of a lioness. Great, but who gets the milk of the lioness, right? So all the mice got together, they had a great idea. They said they bought a bell. They said when the cat comes, the bell will, on the, we'll put the bell on the cure, right? The bell will ring, and we'll all know to run away. Only one problem. Who gets to put the bell on the cat's neck, right? So they went to Shlomo HaMelech and they said, you're supposed to be smart. How do we get the milk of a lioness? So Shlomo sent Ben Yoyada, and he went with 10 goats, and every single day he threw another goat to the lion. That was the goat's yard side, as you can imagine. And until each day the goat, you know, the lioness became closer and closer to him. Till he was able to milk the lioness. And Shlomo said to the king, to the messenger, here, take this back, your king is going to be healed. And on his way back, gave him the milk of the lioness, brought it to Shlomo. Shlomo gave it to the messenger of the Persian king and said, here, take it back. Now, here's where the fun started. This is where the Medrash says, the goddess Chazal, whatever this means. But it says this messenger, on the way back, victory, he has the milk of the lioness. And his internally, his body, he started having a debate. Okay, his feet said, we're the greatest, because we're bringing back the milk to the king. And his hands said, we're the greatest, we're carrying it. And his mouth said, I'm the one that had the idea to go to Shlomo. They all started laughing. Mouth, tongue, who are you compared to us, right? He said, oh yeah, I'll show you. So when he got there, so the Persian king said, what did you bring me? So he said, I brought the chelev hakalba, I brought the milk of a dog. And they said, okay, we're going to hang you. You brought me the milk of a dog? So they brought in the royal executioner, and they're about to hang him. And they're all, you know, everyone, the hands are crying and his feet are crying and the tongue says, huh? Of course, the problem is the tongue is in the pickle now also, right? So finally he says, Adoni HaMelech, you didn't understand me, he says, that by us hunters, we call a levia sometimes a kaliva kalva. But really, I meant a lioness. So they all said, shoo. So he says, you see, a mavas v'chaim b'yad haloshen. Okay, so what does this mean? Anyone want to suggest, what is the message here that Chazal are saying with this? And what does this mean? Internally, his feet are arguing with his hands. So, people struggle for recognition. And human nature is to blame everyone and everyone, society and yechidim and our parents and our kids and our grandparents for everything that we consider there's a lack of recognition and disappointments in our life. And then we begin to blame ourselves. And that's even worse. And the struggle is always there. You can imagine if I'm all alone, I'm a ben yachid. There's no struggle with me. There was a man by the name of Howard Hughes. Anyone know who Howard Hughes was? Did not play third base for the Orioles, no. Howard Hughes was the owner of TWA. TWA was the biggest airline in his time. And he was the richest man. He was the Bill Gates of his time. He was the Warren Buffett of his time. He was the, what's the Amazon guy, Jeff? Right. He was the guy. He was the richest man of his time. You know, he died of hunger and neglect. Because what happened was, he started to... You know, he was paranoid, people trying to kill him. He built himself this huge palace in Nevada, someplace in the desert. He was scared of the nuclear testing they were doing, so he pumped billions to get a certain senator in and a certain governor in. And eventually he was scared people would come. He wound up literally living alone in neglect with long nails and died of hunger. He was scared to eat because he was poisoned. So what happened was, because he was in so much control, because he had all that money, that he was constantly, he couldn't keep up to his own security needs. To his own body telling him. And the fact that we know there's only so much we can do. You get onto the VQE, you know, there's only so much you can do. These people drag racing in front of you, ran around you. The bunch of them, right? I'm in your hands. Every once in a while, it's good. It's good to do tshuva once in a while. And if we look what's going on in this world now, where's the world coming to, right? Not gonna go there, but we all know. No one knows. Okay, so we don't know. That's the biggest brach in the world if you don't know. So we know the Yidgi L'Roif B'Kerif Ha'aretz. And a person has to talk to himself. A person has to say that your tongue is more powerful than everything. My feet is in the wrong place. My hands are in the wrong place. I did the wrong thing. I made the wrong decision. I came. I blew it. I'll never be able to put it back together. Your tongue is still around. Let your tongue command you and say, you woke up this morning. You said, my na'ani. That means Hashem is not giving up on you. It means Hashem is not giving up on you. Look at that. Yehuda was demoted by his brothers, right? He tried to rebuild. He lost two sons for very, very difficult reasons. Aaron, Einan. Tamar leaves the door open. He can get away with it. The busha is beyond imagination. And he takes it on. And here is where Mashiach is born. Here. Here is the geula. If not for this, there would have not been a geula. It would have never happened. And that's why we're called Yehudi. Yehudi has the entire Shem Havaya on it. So, I have a friend. And his father grew up in Moshe Wilhelm. In Chasana last night, Rav Shafik, Zan, Shatai, V'mislachas, Simchas, and Achas, all of you met Hashem. Simchas, Amashpia, Simchas. So, he told me this story. His father was an Ish Kodesh. His grandfather was Rabbi Yamin Wilhelm, who started Tarvadas, you remember those years. So he says, they're in their shul in Williamsburg one day, and a man walks in, schwitzing bullets. It's a hot summer day. And his father goes over to him after. He says, where are you coming from? He says, Bedford-Stuyvesant. Bedford-Stuyvesant to Williamsburg is, an hour walk. The question is, a lot of Mesiras Nefesh and Vidui and Amunah, Betachin, and a lot of Chayvus Levavus you need to make, if you understand it. So they said to him, no shul in your neighborhood? No. He said, you're going back now? And where should I go? Come to us for the Suda. Came for the Suda. You're walking back now? After I played at Shul on Shabbos, yeah. No, okay, lay down on the couch. Lay down on the couch. Come to Mincha, Shal Shudas, Mariv. No, we'll drive you home. They got into the station wagon, they drove him home. He said, that happened for the next 30 years. Something like that, I don't know, decades. He said, when he grew up, it was Isaac comes, and that was Shabbos. And Isaac lays down on the couch. His name was Isaac. Isaac lays down on the couch, and Isaac and you make havdalah, and you in your matzah Shabbos, bar min epsanim, bar min eish, and you drive Isaac home. That's matzah Shabbos. On Shabbos, he disappeared. It's like 20 years of coming, no goodbye, no. He disappeared. He just didn't come. So first they were scared something happened to him. He's not around. So the kids felt terrible. They said to the father, they felt like this is not right. They felt like he abandoned us. You hear all the, at least say goodbye. Say where you are. And the father said, the years that he was here were the years he was supposed to be here. That's all. The years he was here was the years he was supposed to be here. Leave it alone. That was our tikkun at that time. That guy said 10 years, whatever it was, 15 years, just disappears and blew. I guess they found that he was okay. So this is Yosef Wilhelm Nebuch. He had a stroke, and he suffered his whole life. He was always besimcha. He was an amazing person. Another one of his children lost a daughter. And I was there by the... He came to Menachem Oval. They rolled him in the wheelchair. He was for 15 years already. He couldn't move. He was paralyzed. He tells his son-in-law, tough. No kashas, okay? No kashas. That's tough, right? This is... And when the doctors told him that they don't see more than a couple of weeks to go for him, he said, quick, get me a chumash. I said, why the chumash? He says, he wants to be ma'avasedra till v'zayis ha'bracha. Because he won't be able to finish it on this. He doesn't know how to let you be ma'avasedra. That could be there. It's just a scar for the mitzvahs. This is the mindset, okay? So he's nifter, and they bury him. And right next to him, there's a metzeva. I have pictures. I should have brought it. Sorry, forgot. I'll bring it next time. Who's buried right next to him? Isaac. They had lost contact with him over the years. It was maybe 30, I don't know how many decades passed from the Shemai, and nobody arranged this. So you can tell me who you meet in Shemai, what you have to do, where you have to go. I know that Ravelsky, Azchen Levracha, had an open, incredibly open door policy in his home. And most of the guests who eat and slept there were very thankful and became lifetime friends, but occasionally there were those who, for say the least, were less than graceful in their conduct. And once the family complained about the behavior of a certain individual guest at the Shabbos table, and they had what to complain about. So Rebelsky reminded them the story of Rabbi Eliezer. He was the father of the Baal Shem Tov, and Rabbi Eliezer would sacrifice himself for Achnasas Archim in many different ways. But once he had a very unruly, offensive guest that just took it over the top, As a matter of fact, things came out over the top, if you understand what I'm saying. Rabbi Lezer exhibited boundless patience and just swallowed the emotional outbursts, and he physically cleaned up after him. And after Shabbos, the rowdy guest revealed himself that he's Eliyahu HaNavi. And he explained that his challenge was a test, and he had to clear the way for a son that would be born. So, you know, we all have such guests, and it doesn't mean that right away they say, guess what, I'm Eliyahu. But Eliyahu will come and say that your Nisayon was there. It was a cheshem. This is where you had to be. Things don't just happen by chance. They really, really don't. So I was thinking, Rav Asher, right? So without mentioning names, we know that we have some people that might nevish themselves mamish to hear Rav Asher shir in the mirror. So my son was telling me a fascinating thing that somebody once asked him, Rav Asher shir in the mirror, Rav Asher Ariel, he has like 1,000 people. Now it's up to 700, 800. What is it?
Depends on the day.
And people sitting on the steps and sitting on seats and sitting on right. What's it like? Tell us what it's like, Yudi. Want to come up?
The worst day.
The camera? No? Yeah, okay.
The busiest day is the worst day. The best day. There's people all the way up the stairs.
All the way up the stairs.
All the way.
So they once asked him, why were you zaycha to this? So he said, he doesn't know. But he thinks that it was Shmir Sinayim. But he remembers when he first got married, he would take a taxi every day. He made it, and his wife was in agreement with this, and it was mamish blood money. They ate yogurt for, leaven. But Shmir Sinayim on the bus. When they wanted him to come to America, the administration of the yeshiva, for the big dinner, he said he never left at Yerushalayim, never left at Yisrael. And they asked him, why? Just once for the yeshiva, he said, I was never on Rehov Yafo. You want me to go to the airport? Know what that means? He grew up in Borough Park, you were never on 13th Avenue. Grew up in Williamsburg, you were never on Bedford. What should I say? Grew up in Toronto, you're never on Bathurst. Grew up in Baltimore, you're never where? I don't know. Where? Solomon, I don't know. Right?
Park Heights.
Okay, there you go. Never in Park Heights. I don't know. In Chicago, you're never in Peterson Park. What's it called? Right? I don't know. Where?
Devon.
Oh, Devon. Okay. You're in Los Angeles, you were never in Hollywood. I don't know. You grew up in Miami, you were never in Disney. Okay, I'm getting carried away. You get the idea, okay? He's never on Rehov Yafo. You know what I mean? He's never on Main Street. So it's a different kind of Torah. But I want to say something else. What does it mean it's a different kind of Torah? So my kids tell me that somebody once asked him if she go to Rav Shimon Baichai, like Bohemer. So he said, Rav Shimon Lepta. You know what I mean? Here he lives. Here he's alive. But listen to this. I remember the one time I saw him, somebody came over to him and said to him, here's a new bachur in the yeshiva. You have to understand the mirror yeshiva, a new bachur in the yeshiva. Like, who would know? You know what I mean? Like, it's like thousands. And he was like, Bruchim Habayim, thank you so much. As if, like, wow, we finally got that new Talmud, you know? One out of 50,000, you know? So I have one of my sons really into a shiurim, and Yudi, perhaps you can back me up on this, explain it to me even better. He said very often during a shiur, he would stop and say, okay, so bleib schwer. Yes? It's difficult, we have to work on it. Friday used to give a shiur, and Friday used to for end for all these kashas. They asked him, so why don't you do that during the week? During the week, he got this pashup shot. That's the real pshat. Friday, galumdus, you go to alumdus, you can for end for anything, you know what I mean? That's for Friday. But during the week, there's nothing wrong with saying sablab shver. There's nothing wrong with going to sleep at night and saying, I don't have answers. That's the v'yidgul l'roiv b'kerif ha'aretz. That's the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. Instant answers is no big deal. That's Hollywood. That's a script. You're on a stage. Once the curtains come up and it's real life, it's a totally different story. The Yehuda is the Yehuda that was moida under the most difficult set of circumstances. The farat, the yom of Akedma, goes only after v'hoye gezaracha kafar aretz. I'm going to sleep tonight. I have no answers. You know what? I have Yaakov's bracha. Have Yaakov's bracha, and even if I'm a fish, b'kerav ha'aretz, there is a way out. And not only is there a way out, but there's a bracha behind the doors that could have never come if I wasn't this fish, b'kerav ha'aretz. Thank you very much.